If you look at the children of Israel leaving the wilderness and crossing over into the promised land, it's a picture of how you fulfill your destiny. There's a clear pattern, and the things that they had to do to go from this side of the river to the other side of the river give us an indication of things we have to go through to fulfill our destiny. See, there's a difference between calling and commissioning. And once you're called, you go through three phases called a wilderness, a transition, and a test. That's what my book's about. But when you are in the wilderness and you're getting ready to transition, see, the Lord just told you. There's been so much set up in here this morning for what the Lord wants to, for how the Lord wants to move in here. But Tony was saying the wilderness is over. You've come to the end of the wilderness. Well, when you come to the end of the wilderness, you're at the point of crossing over into destiny. So I've shared this, and I shared it here, I believe, not too long ago. But I'm going to run through this, but I want to focus on something that we did not go into, and I believe the Lord is saying it prophetically, what He wants to do for you today. But number one, if you go and look at that portion of Scripture, the first thing that God told Joshua when he was getting ready to lead him over is Moses is dead. So the first thing you have to do is let go of dead things. You have to recognize what's dead in your life. You have to quit holding on to things that He's stripping you from. That was the first thing. I'm not going to preach this message again, but I want you to hit the points. Then the next thing He told them to move, you have to take action. He said, every place the sole of your foot shall tread. Many people want destiny, but they do nothing for it. You have to do something. You have to make a move. Ball's in your court. When you begin to step in destiny, you have to make a move. I'm not going there, Lord. That's not my message. You got to make a move. Number three, cast off fear. Be strong and courageous. Number four, you have to declare the word over yourself. This book of the law, be strong and courageous. And then he told him, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. You got to speak it day and night. You got to speak the word over yourself, particularly when it looks like it's not going to happen. Number five, you got to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. They said, wherever the ark moves, you move. When you see the ark move, which contains the Holy Spirit, that's a type of us following the leading of the Spirit. So when the ark moves, you move. Follow the Spirit. It's going to take boldness. It's going to take courage, because He's going to ask you to make some steps. And He doesn't wait until you see what's going to happen to ask you to make the step. He asks you to make the step when you're thinking, oh my God, what's on the other side? And one of the things that we heard so strongly this weekend from Chuck Pierce about what the year that we're in is about, it's a year of gates. We're standing at the gate, ready to enter. Can I tell you something? The scripture also says there's great opposition at the gate. So when you're poised to go through a gate into your opportunity or into your destiny, it will come with great warfare. You have to push through the warfare to get on the other side of the gate. That's the way destiny is. So you got to follow the Holy Spirit. You got to listen to His voice. Next, you got to have proper alignment. Your destiny is always connected to somebody else. See, what you're beginning to see happen in this house is all the right parts are getting in all the right places. And when you come in, folks, we can worship for 30 minutes and be done. It was 15 after 11, and I thought, if somebody else don't come up with some words, I'm done. See, when you train a people to live in the presence of God, you don't have to do all that mess. He's here. So why do we do that 15 minutes before we worship? What you don't realize is it totally cut down the effort that's needed to get in the presence of the Lord, because He's already here. So, but you've got to get into divine alignment. Many people have been searching for years for the blessing of the Lord, but they won't get in the right church. They won't submit to the right leader. Your destiny is always connected to where you connect. Anointing flows through connection. It flows down. So if you're sitting in the wrong place, you're not going to get the grace that you need on your life. Then he told them to take 12 stones. That's what it's saying here about alignment. Government. 12 represents government. Now here's where I want to go with you. Then the last thing they had to do before they crossed over, the word of the Lord says, get thee knives, sharp knives, and circumcise again the children of Israel. So if we're going to step into the destiny, this came forth in worship, We've got to allow the Lord to cut away the things of the flesh in us. We're a little bit Jesus and a whole lot flesh. We ain't even 20-80, I don't think. We come into the church with all this fleshly mess that we wallowed around in. We are carnal. So what's he saying? If you're going to walk in the fullness of destiny, you've got to let me cut that stuff out of you. Your wants, your needs, your thoughts. I don't like it this way. I like it that way. I liked it better the way it was. Nah, 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 nah. That's your flesh. And you miss destiny unless you let God get a sharp knife and cut that mess out of you. But see, in the middle of that, here's the prophetic word today. After they cut away the flesh, this is what the Lord said to them. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, he said, "Now when they had finished circumcising all the nation, they remained in their places in the camp until they were healed. Then the Lord said to Joshua, 'Today I have rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you.'" Can I tell you what the Lord is saying to you today? I want to roll the reproach of your life away from you. The Lord wants to deliver you from reproach today. And one of the reasons that we struggle with entering into destiny is we're still walking under the cloud of reproach. And I believe there's deliverance in this room today. But you can't understand that there's deliverance until I tell you what reproach is. I tell you, the Lord wants to set you free from reproach today. He wants you to leave this place different. He wants to set you free from some things. But before they could go over, he had to roll away their reproach from them. This is what reproach means. See, you go through some things in your life that become a reproach to you. You go through some things in your life that sometimes create a reputation for you. I hear you, Holy Spirit. How many divorces you had? There are places in your life where the circumstances of your life and what you've gone through is a place of reproach. And you can't even enter into destiny. And as a matter of fact, you struggle entering into worship. Because you can't come in free. Because when you try to worship, this reproach is hanging on you. You have a memory. You remember your shortcomings and failures. Now here's what reproach means. The Lord wants to roll away from you. He wants to set you free from reproach today. Because you can't walk in destiny unless you get rid of this stuff. Can I tell you, if you want to be free, take a 25-page questionnaire and fill it out. You know why you're not free? Because you won't tell nobody your junk. 90% of freedom is, I don't want to. There are people right now that are bound, and the only reason they're bound is they won't let the pastor, they want the pastor to know all the mess they've been in their life. Well, I can compare my 25 pages to your 25 pages if that makes you feel better. But you will not get free unless you expose. You can never be free from what you refuse to expose. Because as long as it's in darkness, the Bible says confess your faults one to another and then you'll be healed. But as long as you're not willing to confess it and say, boy, I did this. And see, what you don't understand is when you come and do that, the deliverance minister's not going, one of the reasons they're not is they get used to hearing some stuff. And they don't even remember it most of the time. I'm giving you something for free here. Unless you're willing to tell the dirt and all the nasty that you have done in your life, it'll still hang on you and the reproach will still be hanging on you. The minute, whether I pray, go away, devil, or whatever over you, when you confess to another person, reproach is beginning to lift off of you. I see it, I know this. I'm setting myself up more work, don't know what I'm going to do. I really don't. I got a problem. All of y'all need deliverance. My problem is, I'm just me. I could do this 8 hours a day every day. Every one of them takes 4 hours at least. So I need to raise up a team to do that, but here's the problem I'm having with that. People don't want somebody else other. They don't want the pastor to know their business, and they sure don't want somebody that ain't the pastor to know their business. So we got to get by that some way. We got to raise up a deliverance team that you can take your business to, and they can do what I do, and they'll keep your business private. But I'm telling you right now, some people in this room are not free. Some of you got questionnaires a while ago. Some of them are not here right now that got questionnaires a long time ago. Ooh, I don't think I'm wanting to. No, I ain't telling the pastor that. No, boy. But you got to deal with that to get free. Now listen to what reproach is. I believe with all my heart the Lord wants to set you free from reproach. There's something hanging on you as a result of some of these things that reproach means. This is what reproach means. Disgrace. Disgrace. There's some things possibly in your life that were looked at as a disgrace. What is a disgrace? Loss of reputation or respect, especially as the result of a dishonorable action. So you do something, you blow it, you marry and you get divorced. And then it begins to provide a place in your life where in the eyes of church people or in the eyes of certain people, you lost reputation and respect as a result of dishonorable action. See, some things in my life I did it. But when I did something that the world can see that was a big blunder, it begins to cause a disgrace. As a minister, you can disgrace the body of Christ. And you can mess up, and they're not going to give you any grace. You'll wear that like a scarlet letter for the rest of your life. Disgrace. I talked to some people today. That you've got a place in your life where you've lost reputation and respect as a result of something you have done, and it's still hanging on you. That reproach has not been rolled away from you. It's still affecting you. It's still influencing you. Can I tell you? This is an interesting tidbit. Hope Tony don't mind me saying it. But you know what? I'm preaching on this message today. Most of the church world tells you if you have a divorce, you can't serve in the kingdom anymore. God has a sense of humor. Because I is one. I've been married before. I've been married twice. And the Lord has me sharing on this message today. And I felt the Holy Spirit say, just look what the date is. You know what the date is? The very day that I got married the first time, I'm telling you to get rid of reproach. Yeah. Are you hearing me? I was like, God, you're just... See, I know something about what I'm talking to you about. I know even more that I'll say for another day. But there's disgrace. There's been disgrace in my life. And if you don't come out from under and let the Lord roll that disgrace from you, that reproach, it means disgrace. It means shame. What have you done in your life that's still shameful to you? You're not getting to destiny and you're not entering into the presence of the Lord like He wants you to because it's still hanging around. You're ashamed. This word reproach actually means blush. What is it that's happened in your life that causes you to blush just thinking about it? That causes you to feel great shame? Where is it in your life that you think, boy, if the preacher really knew that, he wouldn't let me be in the church? There's no way I could ever be used in the kingdom if they find this out. God wants to roll away your reproach. As long as the enemy has that place in your life that you have not exposed, he can use it as a weapon against you. But when you allow the Lord to roll the reproach away and set you free by facing the thing, then you can step into a new realm of life. Some of you right now have so much reproach on you. How do you know that you live, that reproach is on you? I hear you, Holy Spirit. Regret. Where is the place of regret on the inside of you? That when you think about a certain thing, it just grieves you and it just pulls you down. He wants to remove it. He wants to set you free this day. Ooh, it is quiet. It means shame. It means ashamed. What are you ashamed of? It means embarrassed, humiliated. Reproach. See, before they could step into destiny, he had to remove all of those things from them. He had to heal their heart from the shameful places and the things that they feel ashamed about having done. And he wants to set you free today. Someone who is being reproached is someone who has received criticism, disapproval, or disappointed others that is justified by their actions. I ought to say that again. Someone who is being reproached is someone who has received criticism, disapproval, or disappointed others. You better hear me, the Holy Spirit's in here. There is a residue, there is a weight upon you because you disappointed somebody. You didn't do it exactly like they thought you should do it. You didn't measure up somewhere in your life. You didn't measure up to the expectations. I heard the Holy Spirit tell me this clearly. You didn't measure up to their expectations. And now something running around on the inside of you feels really like a loser. And when you try to move forward, you struggle with knowing that there was these expectations put on you that you didn't fulfill. Can somebody at least tell me I'm talking to the right people? Your destiny's being hindered. You can get close to your destiny, but then this reproach has not been removed and he's not rolled it away, and it comes back up and it begins to play in your mind. God, he wants to roll the reproach away from you. Are you hearing me yet? They have done things or something that deserved condemnation and rebuke or blame. What have you been blamed for? I'm telling you, Jesus is in here. God wants to roll away this thought process, this weight. He wants to heal your mind of what you've been blamed for. You homewrecker. You adulterer. You church splitter. I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. Somebody in here, they've walked under a guilt of thinking they're the reason their parents divorced. I release healing over that right now, God. You hear what I'm telling you? Wherever you've been blamed, It's a place of reproach. Something you've been blamed for. And the Lord wants to set you free from that. Now I want to show you some examples in Scripture. I want to show you how this plays out in Scripture. Because I believe the Lord prophetically began to show me specific things that have happened to some people in this room. And it says in Genesis chapter 30, verse 22, "Then God remembered Rachel, and God listened to her and opened her womb. She conceived and bore a son and said, 'God has taken away my reproach.'" Her birthing was a sign that God had removed her reproach. When Jacob's wife Rachel could not conceive children, she became a reproach to those who knew her. In the Jewish culture, to be childless was thought to be under a curse from God, who alone opens the womb. So there's a mark on you of being cursed. In the New Testament, Luke 1:25. In the New Testament, Elizabeth in her later years conceived a child, and he would be called John the Baptist. And in Luke 1:25, look what she said. "Thus the Lord has done for me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach from among the people." See, here's what I'm telling you. Sometimes there's a reproach when you're under the weight of the expectations of others that you haven't met. See, women are supposed to be able to give birth. But if you're not able to meet up to that expectation, you walk under a weight of something that hinders you. Expectations. But she said, when she gave birth, she said, "You've removed the reproach from me." The reproach was not being able to do what people expected of her. There are people in this room that are walking under something because you feel like you've not been able to do what was expected of you. And the Lord wants to roll that away from you. There are people in this room right now that are blaming yourself for the path your children are on. They're not serving Jesus. Hello? And you're blaming you. So you have to see here that it's being under the weight of expectations of others that you haven't met their expectations, and it becomes a weight to you. You better hear me. So it could be then, this reproach could be a shame that comes upon you because you haven't given birth to what God promised. So you feel like a failure. You've not fulfilled destiny. That somewhere in your life that you look like a failure. But God sent me to tell you today, it's not over. Let Him roll the reproach away from you and step across the river into the fullness of His destiny. The promised land still awaits you, but you must let Him roll away the reproach and the place where you're grieving because you did not birth what they thought you should birth. Sometimes He never intended for you to birth it anyway. You got it in your head, but it wasn't His way. And you need to let Him release you from that today. This is quite a service I've ever been in here. Now let me show you something else. 1 Samuel 17:26. I'm trying to identify you some things that the Holy Spirit showed me that I believe some people in this room, I'm sharing it prophetically, that what these women were going through, what some people I'm showing you, there's a parallel to what's going on in your life. Some of you are afraid to step out again because you stepped out once and it didn't go well. And in your mind you hear, "Well, he's at it again. It'll just be a matter of time." God wants to remove the reproach. He wants to remove the place of disgrace. Second, 1 Samuel 17:26, when the Philistines, Goliath was hurling insults at Israel and against God. You got to see that. I taught this in Giant Killer's message. That's what's going on. Goliath is standing on one side of the valley. The church is standing on the other side of the valley. And what is Goliath doing? Taunting them. What is it in your life that the enemy taunts you with? I feel Jesus. He taunts. When you rise up out of the bed this morning, he says, you're a loser. I remember when you, look what a loser you are. Taunting you. Throwing up in your face. Throwing up in your mind. That's what Goliath was doing. Taunting them. That's part of reproach. Rolling off the reproach is the Lord setting you free from the place the enemy is taunting you. You'll never amount to anything. You'll never do anything in the kingdom. You're not good enough. You don't have what it takes. You don't measure up. You hear any of those voices in your life? You're ugly. You're fat. You're a loser. Don't you remember where? Don't you know where you come from? Nobody ever did anything good to come from there. Taunting. Where is it your enemy taunts you? What is it that he says to you? See, Goliath was over on the other side of the valley hurling insults at them. And look what David knew. David said, when the Philistines were, Goliath was hurling insults at Israel against David, David was outraged. And so David asked, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? Reproach, I'm telling you. It's that place where they said, you were such a big coward. That was the reproach, that the people of God didn't have the courage to defeat the giants. So had David not stepped in on the scene for the rest of the generations, the reproach would have been the place of disgrace, the place of accusation, where they did not kill Goliath. So in that place where the giant came against your life, and so far it doesn't feel like you defeated him, he's still taunting you. The Lord wants to roll away from you that reproach that's on the inside of your emotions. So the devil can no longer whisper in your ear. The Lord wants to give you a revelation that he no longer remembers it. See, until you get that revelation, the reproach is hanging on you. When he rolls the reproach away from you, the devil can come and say that stuff to you. You're no good. Your parents left you. If you hadn't have been so mean, your parents wouldn't have got a divorce. Hello? That's reproach. Enemies that you have not conquered bring you shame. Enemies that you have not been able to conquer, a shame begins to sit down on you. The Lord wants to free you today. You know what? Some of us have not gotten free from that thing that we keep facing because we're trying to face it. This is the Holy Spirit right here. You're not big enough to take out the giant. You've been trying to take him out on your own strength. You've been saying, forgive me, Lord, I'll never do it again. But you go back and do it again. Because you're trying to take out the giant. You're not allowing him to step in. But yet there's reproach on you. Because you're still, that's hanging on your life. Your failures, the places that you could not defeat something. Is there anything in your life you feel like you cannot defeat? See, the giant shouted over at them. The giant that this thing taunts you. It's the place of what taunts you, what antagonizes you, what makes fun of you. Well, it says, you'll never conquer me. I've had you from the time you were born. You've never been able to stop this. You'll never be able to stop it. What is that? God wants to roll that reproach away from you. Repetitive issues. Now I want to show you. Here's a one for you. Places where you've been blamed. Job 19:3. Job's friends, you know what they did? Blamed him. Job, you must have sinned, bro. I love you. But you must be a sinner. What's that for you? Yeah, I know you go to church on Sunday, but you can't act like that and be a Christian. He wants to remove the reproach. Things that you've been blamed for. Here's another one for you. Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach. Areas of repetitive sin. Areas of repetitive sin, places where you continue to fall, can be places of reproach that the Lord wants. It can bring a reproach on you, and the Lord wants to set you free. Now, I want to show you some things here. I want to show you some pictures of what God wants to do for you. Today, I tell you, He wants to roll the reproach from away from you. And I pray that in this room right now, you are identifying what that is in your life. I hope I've come to talk to the right people. Can you just, has anybody got something that you recognize? Well, it's going to be rolled away today. But you got to say it. And you get a freebie today, you don't even have to say it to me. But you got to say it. It's time for you to face this thing. It's time for Him to set you free from this. And I just believe that He sent me here prophetically today that when we do altar time here, if you'll begin to release that thing before Him, He's going to roll it away from you. This place, I decree and declare, is going to die in your life today. I decree and declare that the place of taunting, the place of accusation, the place of failure that has hindered your life is rolling away from you today. You will not think of it again. You will not go this way anymore if you will receive what God is saying. Now let's look at some pictures of Him doing this. I'm going to read several scriptures, but I want you to get it. It's interesting. A lot of churches don't use scripture anymore, but when I give them to Gabe, there's usually about 20. We're a house of the Word. The Word says much more than I can. Blame Larry Jackson on that one. 2 Samuel 4:4. And Jonathan, I'm going to describe some of y'all right now. There's some Mephibosheths in this room sitting. There's some people that everything was going good in your life and all of a sudden something happened and now you're running around lame. You're limping along. You're coming to church. You're trying to serve Jesus, but something's just not quite right. He wants to roll away the reproach. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. Here's how he got lame. He was 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass as she made haste to flee that he fell and became lame. Life was going along well. His life was good. He was a king's son. And all of a sudden he woke up one day and things took a drastic turn. And his life was changed. It was a place of disgrace. It was a place of dishonor. It was a place of shame. It was a place of embarrassment. Hey, I feel Jesus, if some of you just listen to the Holy Spirit, you got embarrassment in your life. You're embarrassed about something. I feel the Lord working right now. You've been trying to get free for some things, but you've never realized that you're embarrassed about it. You're embarrassed about your family. Some people in this room are embarrassed about their family. Whether you realize it or not, you can go back in your years ago And if something very public was going on in the eyes of your community, don't you know you went to school while that was going on? Don't you know that we're talking about that? And you get an embarrassment. And it hangs on. And it's still there. So now you wrestle with insecurity. And now you wrestle with what other people think about you. But you've already forgot that you got embarrassed on the playground in the fifth thinking grade. But it's in your emotions. Somebody blamed you for something. There's people in this room, you got blamed for something. It's your fault. So all of a sudden, here we find Mephibosheth. Life changed for him. Now I want you to look at the picture of rolling away the reproach. 2 Samuel 9:1. David said, "Is there any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, Art thou Ziba? And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan has yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar." Go get the definition of Lodabar. It's very interesting. He was in low places. He was in depression. He was in depression. He was in gloom, despair, and agony on me. If it wasn't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. His life had been shattered. He's gone from the king's palace to the gutter. He's gone from being somebody to being nobody. He's gone from being royalty to having scraps. Can you relate? The king said, the king David sent and fetched him out of the house from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was coming to David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth," and he answered, "Behold, your servant." David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan your father's sake, and will restore all the land of Saul your father, and you shall eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, look at the mentality of somebody that's walking in reproach. He said, "What is thy servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am?" I'm talking about reproach. I hear you, Holy Ghost. You dirty dog. This is the place where they say about you, "You dirty dog. How dare you? I know what you did." He had the mentality of a dog. He viewed himself as a dog because reproach was hanging around him. The Lord has come to roll the reproach from you today. The place where you look at yourself as a dog. He wants to set you free from that self-accusation. He said, "Who am I that you would look up on a dead dog as I am?" Hear what God, I'm showing you, rolling off the reproach. Look what happens. The king called Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his house." He got what his daddy was supposed to have. There are people who have had broken homes, and you've wore divorce and separation and these things as a reproach in your life. But the Lord wants to roll the reproach away from you and give you the family that your daddy was supposed to have before all this mess entered in. "Thou therefore," look at the rolling off of the reproach, "thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, and thy master's son may have food to eat." But Mephibosheth, the guy that was under reproach, shall eat bread always at my table. He was in a king's house before the bad stuff happened. He returned to a king's house when it was over and the reproach was returned. He never settled for anything. The Lord put him right back in the place that he was in before the accusation and the failure came into his life. You better hear what I'm telling you. You don't have to eat scraps anymore, and you don't have to live a dog's life anymore, because the same table in the king's house is waiting for you that was there before you messed up. I say in Jesus' name, let the reproach come off of your mind. Let the reproach come off of you this day. You were a king's kid when it happened, and you're a king's kid now. Lord, break it off of these people. I can't make happen what I see. Lord, I'm asking you to bring deliverance into this room. Quit talking about it. You know it's on you because you talk about it all the time. It happened years ago, but you still got to talk about it. You're not free. So Mephibosheth, hear it. 2 Samuel 9:13. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, and he did eat continually at the king's table. Scraps. God has not ordained you for scraps. But if you don't allow him to roll the reproach and the guilt and the condemnation and the shame and the embarrassment from you, if you don't face that head on, you'll keep eating scraps when he has T-bone for you. Let me give you another example. You know this. You know it well. Luke 15:11-24. He said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of the goods that falls to me. He divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no more worthy to be called your son. See, that's what I'm telling you. Because of the fact that there was a place for accusation in his life, he blew it. There's no question he blew it. There's no question he was disgraced. So his mentality in coming back is, I won't be a son anymore, but I'll just be a servant. He's walking under reproach. What are you forfeiting right now in your life because you're coming back as a servant and thinking that he's no longer calling you a son? What scraps are you settling for? So he comes back and he says, at least I can be a servant. I can't be a son, but I can be a servant. There's people in this room, that's how you live. You old divorce thing, you. Can't be a son. I mean, you might get to come into church and just hang out in the back seat, but you'll never be able to be used or anything. Hello? And that's the mentality of this son. He arose and came to his father. When he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The father don't run out to meet servants. The father knew he was still a son. And when he was a long way off, I got to tell you something today. Your daddy is running toward you right now. I can't help it what they told you. I can't help it how you messed up. I can't help it where you feel disgraced. Your daddy is not running from you. He's running to you. Roll off the reproach. His daddy never said, I knew you'd come. I knew you'd blow it. You got just what you deserve, boy. I hear you, Lord. There are people all over this room, your parents talk to you that way. When you came with an issue, when you came with a problem, they said, well, you got what you deserve. But oh, not with when reproaches rolled off. It says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against you and in your sight. And he said, I'm no longer worthy. See, this is what this reproach does. It causes a spirit of unworthiness to come on you. You don't feel worthy to get God's best anymore. He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. But the father said, bring forth the best robe. Put it on him. Put a ring of authority on his fingers. Put him back in right standing with me. The robe represents righteousness. Put a ring on his finger. Put him back in the authority that he belongs in. Put shoes on his feet. Shoes give him peace. Let him walk in peace in the house again. And bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they became merry. Rolling off the reproach. Job! Lord, please let me never be Job. Of all the prayers I can pray, no, Lord. I don't want to be Job! You know the story of Job. And see, Job was walking up under that reproach because all his friends were saying, Job, I thought you were a Christian, buddy, but something in the water ain't clean, Job. You have a woman on the side or something, Job? Been drinking a little, Job, on the side? What's going on with you, Job? There's got to be sin in your life. Reproach. So here you got to see it. But the Lord rode the reproach away from Job. Oh, I hear you, Jesus. You know what the reproach is? It's a place where people have a reason to accuse you. I hear you, Holy Ghost. It's the place where people have a reason to accuse you and say something about you based on the event that happened in your life. Oh, it says in Job 42:10, and the Lord, I'm about ready to fill it up in here, the Lord restored the fortunes of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Yes. He didn't have scraps. I've told you this is a time for recompense, baby. This is a time for restoration and recompense. You dope didn't just get back what he lost. When the reproach lifted his life, he got double. I'm trying to tell you, if you'll let the Lord deliver you from what you've been walking around in, he'll bring double to your life. Now, reproach means shame, doesn't it? Isaiah 61:7. Do you have anywhere in your life recognized yet? Foul ups, bleeps, and blunders. You got it. Is there a place in your life where you still feel shame? Yes or no? You can be free today. What are you ashamed of? What makes you feel shame? What things have gone on in your life that people label you as a disgrace over? What has embarrassed and humiliated you? Where can you say, boy, I really blew it. I've really messed things up. What is it that you regret? Where do you struggle with regret and say, if only I hadn't done this and if only I had done that? What are you haunted by? What still haunts you? What does the enemy taunt you about? Here's the word of the Lord. I want to roll off the reproach. I want to free you from the place that you're ashamed. Come on. I want to free you from the place that you got shame. And the word of the Lord in Isaiah 61:7 is, and I decree it over you today, instead of your shame, you will have a double portion. Instead of humiliation, they will shout for joy over their portion. Therefore, you will possess a double portion. I decree over you that you will have double.